Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
Last week we had Mark Palmer and he had a big song intro and I was like, is that all I get? Just come on up and preach. And I'm a little bit offended by Wayne cracking a Red Bull as I come up to preach. What are you trying to say? That you're going to fall asleep or something? Wow. Highly offended, but I'll get over it, I'm sure. It's really good to be with you guys. If we can turn to Luke chapter 1. We're starting a new series this week for the next 2-3 weeks. There's something about Mary. As we turn to Luke chapter 1, I want to tell you just a quick story. This is definitely, as the song goes, the most wonderful time of the year. I'm very excited. I'm probably one of the most excited about Christmas. I'm more excited than your average 5-year-old. I put up my Christmas tree on Monday with Kisa, and we put carols, we pumped carols in the home, and we're in the Christmas spirit. But I want to say that my family, the Phillips family, do Christmas better than any of you. I promise you, hands down. We grew up in Zimbabwe with minimal funds, with minimal things, but we made it work. My parents sold us on this thing that Christmas was amazing, even if our presents were a little bit budget. But we didn't know that. We just went, wow, shiny wrapping paper. But what happened was, Christmas morning for us, I have two older brothers, and when we were little, smaller guys, I know it's a miracle. I was smaller than I am now. But we grew up on Christmas morning. What would happen at 3 in the morning, I shared a bedroom with one of my brothers, Simon, and at 3 in the morning, we would wake up, and he would wake me up saying, it's time, it's the day. And we're like, oh my goodness. So my parents would get given us stockings at the end of our bed. And these were incredible stockings to these young Zimbabwean children. Young boys, they contained three things. At 3 in the morning, we knew what they were, but we were still excited and going, wow, like it was a surprise. A tennis ball. Brand new Spalding tennis ball. Came in backs of three. Nice to distribute between the three brothers. You know? But this wasn't just a tennis ball to teenagers, to young boys. This was a cricket ball, brand new, the new ball after 80 overs and the test match between Australia and South Africa. It became a soccer ball in the Premier League. You know, it was amazing. Our imaginations were incredible. So we pulled that out. Wow, thanks, Mom and Dad. Put it on the side. We also in Zimbabwe had two types of drink. We had Mzoe Orange and Coca-Cola. So whenever we went on holiday to South Africa, we put in requests, I promise you, in April for what drink we wanted in our stocking in December. Yeah, and we weren't allowed to drink it till then. By then, you opened it, it was like very flat, but still. So I don't know if anyone remembers Fresca. That was my choice, Fresca back in the day. Or cream soda, any of those were winners. Nowadays, I'm living in the land of milk and honey. I'm like, you guys don't understand how much you should appreciate cream soda. Amazing. And the third item, I don't know what my parents were trying to hint to us or something, was always a can of Axe deodorant. I don't know what they're trying to say. Those three things spread amongst three boys went down a tree. But they gave us that at 3 in the morning because on the Christmas morning we were actually woke up and we were allowed to open our prayer. We weren't allowed to open them. 8 o'clock would come. We, as a good Christian family, we were put into our Christmas best and sent off to church. Seeing these Christmas presents under the tree, it was like, that was hell. Hell on earth. No, you're joking. Church. Oh, we sulked the whole way through church. But this anticipation of presents was getting exciting. And we'd get home and we were like, wild to this little, you saw just a flash of red hair in my house. Poof, up and down the passageways, I was off the walls, ADD on steroids. It was like, and after that Fresca, it was ridiculous. It was all, because we were delighting in the abundance that we had been given. We didn't know what we had, but we knew we had stuff. Something. We had something. And we were like, this is amazing. And that Christmas feeling has never left me. I love Christmas. I'm always excited. I count down. I've even got that little chocolate thing where you open up the little advent calendar. I've got it. I promise you. I'm that excited about Christmas. But with that feeling, even as I was thinking about our Christmas tree as well, I was looking at our glorious Christmas tree at home now, which is incredible. All the branches are there. We had the same Christmas tree after year, and slowly the lights weren't going, you know, it wasn't the Christmas carol, you know the lights we switch on, they sing Christmas carols? They got so, the batteries got so low, it was more like Metallica, it was like, like, whoa, but we loved it. We were like, this is incredible, Christmas time in the Phillips home. With that excitement, I want to say, I am possibly you think December you start landing your year down, I want to tell you, I'm more excited about this series than any other series or any preach that we've done this year. I really am. I believe that this morning, you should have a Red Bull. And if you don't have one, this preach will be as good as a Red Bull for you. They're just going to get you going. And this is not only just an emotional rah-rah. This is the Word of God. This is revelation. And we live on revelation. We live on understanding, seeing and knowing Him more and more. If you're still living on just what you knew of Him years ago, you're missing out. It's not new revelation, it's progressive revelation. This is not some new truth that we've never heard before, but it's progressive truth. God is wonder-filled. There's no end to His goodness. There's no end to His wonders. When we think, theologians think that we've got Him down, we've boxed Him in, God will surprise us and you'll go, flip, I look stupid. There are things I was preaching a few years ago that I just regret. And I try and delete that, please. Anyway, God is good, thank you. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And let's find out there's something about Mary. You may have seen the movie, it's got nothing to do with the movie, I've just stolen the title. So Ben Stiller will not be appearing this preach. Oh. Verse 26 begins like this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. Sorry, I just got stuck there. Apologies. My name is Gabriel for all the visitors. And I stand before you in the presence of the Lord this morning. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I really didn't plan that joke, I promise. God sent, you know Mark Palmer? Who needs Mark Palmer? Oh, let's carry on. Sure. Every preacher thinks he's a comedian. Yeah, that's it. In the sixth month, let's start again. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you. You'll become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He'll be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin." Good question. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and you'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever He wants. May everything you have said come true." And then the angel left. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that there is nothing like your word that shapes us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're trying to say this morning. Awake our hearts to most glorious things. I thank you that you're a God who speaks today. We love you. Let me just give you a bit brief background about this young girl named Mary. Scholars have agreed after years of debate that she was actually a teenage girl. Believe it or not, they've put her age around 14 or 15. So not this older Mary, this is a young teenage girl. So this story takes on a huge new aspect when you hear she's a teenage girl who on Tuesday, if she was in our modern day times, I promise you she'd be in line to try and buy Justin Bieber tickets. That's the type of girl I can imagine. Yes, I do know that their tickets open on Tuesday. I repent. So she was a typical teenage girl. I don't think she was some legs of the church make a great deal of Mary and they lift her up to an unbiblical precedent where they make her divine. But I think in response to that, other wings of the church have so ignored Mary in response that they've swung to the other side where they don't even want to touch, they don't want to talk about Mary. We'll talk about David, other models of faith, when I believe Mary holds something huge for us. Massive. And in this, I'm not trying to make a new theology around Mary or change that. There's no theology around her. It's all about Jesus. Always has been, always will be. But this woman, this lady, this young girl, Mary, was not just an ordinary teenage girl. The Bible makes it clear that she was from Nazareth, a town in Galilee, which was a very ordinary backwater place. Later on in Scripture, people say, what good could ever come out of Nazareth? I don't know what place you can liken this to today, but I let your imagination go wild. That sort of place where you would, Colesburg on the way to Bloom. does anyone even know that place? So like, no, we usually never. She's from a very ordinary backwater place, probably the hillbilly town of Israel. Probably had a little bit of an accent, probably people mocked them a little bit, so an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Galilean walk into a bar. That's the type of thing they would have done, you know? I'm being serious here. It was that type of place. Ordinary girl from an ordinary place. And she was engaged to be married as a 14, 15-year-old. She was a pure girl. She had not messed around. She had not slept with anyone. She was engaged to be married in purity. And we know biblical precedents tell us that if somebody was found out by her husband to have not been pure on the marriage day, there were huge consequences. This girl took it very seriously. And it's an incredible thing. The context of this is that the present word of God, Luke chapter 1 opens up with Zechariah, just before that, then to Mary. But this chapter opens up on the back of 400 years of silence from the presence of word of God. From the end of Malachi, there's 400 years. Nothing. Apparently nothing. The present word of God was silent in those days. We'll look next week at Zechariah and a couple other aspects around this. But this man, Zechariah, in chapter 1, if you go read it, Zechariah was the total opposite of Mary. He was a male. He was older. He was educated. He was a priest. Priesting for the people. He was well respected. He was a man who knew the prophecies of old backwards. He was in that place. He was begging God, saying, God, give me a child. Give me a child. The same angel appeared to him, said the same thing to him about Elizabeth, his wife, would bear a child, John the Baptist. And what is his response? Can't believe it. No ways. And the angel says, I'm going to silence your unbelief. My promise will still happen, but I'll silence your unbelief on this stage. I don't think it's by accident that these two characters of huge contrast in their makeup are positioned right next to each other in Scripture. One was praying for the arrival of the Messiah. The other one was just a girl going about her day waiting for marriage. God appeared, and so different their response. We're going to look at Mary's response this morning. But I want to tell you, Christmas is so much more than about just mangers and donkeys, little drummer boys, pum pum pum, and your little advent calendars. Christmas is so much more than that. I tell you what Christmas is. Christmas is an introduction of heaven breaking into earth. That's the model and pattern. Saying into your normal, ordinary teenage girl from a backwater place reality, where the voice of God has been silent, heaven is going to break in. The very life of God. Now that's the term we throw around loosely, the life of God. Literally, the life of God, Jesus Christ incarnate, is going to come into that reality. I think there's a pattern here. I want to tell you this morning, if you think you're sitting here and you feel it, you think God has been a bit silent on you for a long time, or you feel you're in a dry place and you have not heard the voice of God, or you feel far and estranged from this God, I want to tell you, in this moment, I want to announce to you today that the Word of God, the Word wants to become flesh in your life. Christ wants to come and make Himself so real, the life of God, like you never, ever could have imagined. Mary in the natural was disqualified from this. Women were at the back of the queue. And in this instant, God bypasses everything, bypasses her sex, bypasses her gender, bypasses everything, her education, and He says, through you, my kingdom will come. Incredible. He's saying something similar this morning. 3 points this morning. I will be brief. God will not be brief. He will begin today a lifetime adventure if you let Him to. Point number one, your circumstance, if we want to be a Mary generation, a Mary type people who respond like Mary does, your circumstance doesn't need to determine your response. Mary says this, when the word of God arrives at her door, when it comes and says, you are going to be with child, she says the most logical thing. She says, how can this be? I am a virgin. Makes sense, eh? Good thing to ask, eh? Probably you'll do it. But I want to say right now that Christ Jesus, the gospel that God has declared, His final word, Jesus Christ, that He's declared over the planet, declared over existence, is that it doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. That's the gospel. Right now where you sit, you're the most qualified people here. If you say, put my hand up, yes Lord, you become the most qualified person in this room, most qualified person in the world to bring His kingdom by saying yes Lord. He is not looking, it's that old age saying, He does not call the equipped, He equips the called. Amen. He's not looking for education, or otherwise He would have used someone else, I promise you. I know that. I want to tell you that right now, in that moment, I can imagine, can you imagine the fear that Mary is dealing with there when she says, how, I can imagine just the PVR, woof, 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 highlights of her life before. I haven't slept with anyone, seeing what Joseph would say, just all these things, what will her parents say, I'm a child, what, this is so out of my normal. She had to do, in that one moment, in that brief second, everything had to line up. She had to deal with the fear of man like nobody could, in this room would ever have known. If Joseph doesn't believe me, no, I promise this was done of God. Yeah, right. Heard that one before. Seen Jerry Springer before. That one doesn't work. Doesn't go down well. If Joseph didn't believe her, the punishment for that was death. Stone her. Incredible. The law said she must die. If Joseph doesn't believe her, if he doesn't take her, he could put her away. Next week we'll look at Joseph a little bit as well. Incredible man. But she had to deal not only with that, but also with the thing of shame. She was going to, if she didn't get believed, she was going to be ostracized, the shame upon her family. Incredible. In that moment, she had to deal with possible shame and possibility of fear of man. Right there. In that brief moment. And those logical things happened. This morning, I'm praying that God is going to free us of these things. These are enemies of faith. Shame is not, that should not exist beyond the cross. In Christ Jesus, there is no more shame. He has defeated shame. And yet every day, I can guarantee you 90% of us labor in the mud and mire of shame, pushing through, thinking that that is something we have to deal with, of what we have done before, or what we haven't stood up for, or what we haven't done, where we've failed as a father, where we've failed as a mother, where we've failed as a husband or wife, where we've failed as a Christian. We haven't read enough. I've sinned too much. I haven't been pushing in enough. I haven't attended church for a while. I've cheated my taxes. I've looked at pornography. We trudge to the shame. Christ Jesus says, it's done. Trump every time. Checkmate every time. I want to tell you here, there's no more excuses. The gospel is not about your present condition or your so-called obstacles. Heaven is not about your present condition. I mean, the gospel is not about your present condition or your so-called obstacles. This morning, I'm just so passionate about this, and it can seem so elementary, but this is where I begin and end. Is that I know in myself I have nothing that this world needs. I labor. We know, we see all these people who are famous one day, they're gone the next. The world doesn't need them. They're gone, these ego trips, and they're forgotten very quickly. Even if we reach the pinnacle of what we think success is on this world, the world does not need us. We can labor under false sense of pride and who we are for years and years and years. But I'm telling you, we'll come to our end and we'll realize we are barren. We are empty. We have nothing of worth. But Christ Jesus wants to come and supersede that. He supersedes that reality and says, your earthly reality, thank goodness we're not living from earth to heaven. It's from heaven to earth. Where he says in Zechariah, see, your king comes to you riding on a donkey. That is the gospel. The king of heaven came with a son to make, as C.S. Lewis says, the son of man, the son of God, came to earth to make men sons of God. Incredible. To bypass everything that you and I have known. This is not some rah-rah preach, Joel Osteen type preach. This is reality. This is scripture. This is truth that should reverberate in our very beings and change our lives. I want to tell you right now that God is not dealing with us on our terms. Thank goodness. He does not come and look at you at your present condition and says, I'm going to judge you and deal with you at arm's length on your terms. He says, no, I deal with you on my terms, which is Christ Jesus, that tar, that blood, that supersedes your unrighteousness. You no longer, if you're in Christ Jesus, your unrighteousness has been removed as far as the east is from the west. He chooses. He's not some forgetful God, but he says, I will never bring it up again. So why do we keep bringing it up? As an excuse. He will not. This is Gospel 101. But it is the beginning and the end of the Gospel as well. The final word, Christ is enough. I want to move on here, but I want to just say, please, when you learn to be a people, my prayer for this church ongoing this year would be was that our circumstances would not dictate our response system in everything. That faith would become our language. I was saying to a friend, and he said to me, faith becomes, it's easy to talk faith, it becomes hard when the rubber hits the road. When there's no money in the bank. Where God told you to give up that job. and there's no job forthcoming. But you didn't faith. When God says, do this, do that, and that's when faith becomes a reality. I want to pray for us that we will be a people, because there's two types. We either will be a church that will be smashed down by persecution, or be a church that will be lured away by seduction. One of the two. Now I fear that our biggest problem would be the latter. Be seduced by the wiles of the world, by the accusations of Satan, just to become small, retreat to our four walls, circumstantial living. We'll tithe when we have the money. We'll be generous when the bank balance is a little bit better. We'll forgive when the season suits me. When he says sorry, then I'll say sorry. That's not heaven to earth reality. That's very earth Christianity. Point two. I want to get to point three. That's why. That's my ace. Joking. Point two though. Also very good, this one. My full house. The authority through you is linked to the authority over you. I find it fascinating that at the end of this, her response to the angel after she's gone through her, I'm not too sure about that, I'm a virgin, and then she says, I'm your servant. I just love those words. That's the first thing she says. This teenage girl, this mature response beyond her age, beyond her education, she says, I'm your servant. Positions herself in this. Just park that thought a little bit. And I don't know if this is a coincidence, but I believe this is good biblical exposition, because the next time, this word links with Mary, is in John chapter 2, when Jesus is at the water at the party, and she says to the servants, you do what he says you must. With authority she declares, these servants there, they don't have to listen to a woman in their culture. And she says with authority, servants, whatever he tells you, you do it. Not with arrogance, not with pride as a mom, she had recognized in the Jesus, because she had humbled herself as a servant. The authority that she had in her was because she was under great authority. Incredible response. Our response this morning, I'm not saying elevating us, I'm elevating Christ above all. And if we come and position ourselves under his headship, his lordship, I'm telling you, this world will not look the same. As D.L. Moody says, the world is yet to see what one son can, fully submitted son can do. One fully submitted son. As Ryan Matthews preached a few weeks ago, servanthood is the most attacking language we can use against the enemy. Because it's so counter-culture. Everything in our culture is promote yourself. Mary comes and positions herself as the recipient of heaven. So often our Christianity, different around the world, different types of preaching, and there's some biblical truth to it, is a very great, or that prosperity gospel type thing, is a very, it sounds very, let's go get it, but it's a very slave mentality of grab what you can get. Earth to heaven. Reach into heaven and get what is deserving me. Prosperity gospel is no gospel at all. I believe in prosperity. I believe that God wants to pour out everything. He says, you'll have exceeding and abundantly everything you need for life and godliness. He has everything for us. Heaven is open for us to go and receive from him. But it's a position of receiving, not of grabbing. We're living from heaven to earth. I'm just hoping that this will settle into us, not only today, but into our lives. Incredible thing, and just a little thought there. I want to say our intimacy leads to our influence. We talk about we are people of influence. Why do we worship and prolong? Sometimes I often look back, and I see guys at the end of worship, let's get to the preach. Or people will come in about 15 minutes late because, yeah, worship's not my kind of thing, you know? Why do we do that? We believe 100%. We do not, as a church, we have made the decision not to build around programs or events. We say we want to build around the presence of God. Amen. We will sometimes, I think that our church, our type of church, is a little bit like my Christmas tree at home. A few raggedy lights, some shiny paper, a little bit, maybe some people going, well, it's not that sharp and clear. But I want to tell you, there's such life around that tree. In my home, there was such life. We were going wild over that. Because, can I tell you, at the end of the day, it's not about the tree. It's not about the lights. It's not about the presence. It's around the person of Christ Jesus. We look at the model throughout Scripture as the Israelites that placed their camp around the presence of God. Always. When they moved, the ark went with them. But so often, churches and our thing, we get into a place where we don't prioritize intimacy. We want to run after influence in our lives. Influence. I want to tell you, the order is intimacy leads to influence. The pattern of Scripture, we could go on all day on just on that point, but I want to appeal to you this Christmas. Do not settle back down into a relaxed, oh, it's holiday season. Enjoy your holidays, have fun, take stock of the year and the year to come, but press into God like never before. Press into Him because knowing that He has pressed into you fully. If you feel far and you feel you need to warm up into pressing in, that's a lie. He is already fully engaged with you. It's easy to press into God because He's there, pushing in. He's not a reluctant father stepping back going, catch me if you can. He's there. Luke 15 is the story of the prodigal son. It's more about the incredible, lavish father. It's less about the sons. It's about a father who forsakes everything to chase after his boy. Incredible. That's not my point. Point number three. Point number one, Mary's response. Your circumstance doesn't determine your response. Number two, the authority through you is linked to authority over you. And point number three is this. It's incredible. I believe this has blown my mind. This has shaped my journey of following Jesus and loving Him over the last few years. In Genesis chapter 1, where I often run to, the default for me, because it's the beginning, the story of creation, the first God's original intent. What He does is it says, it opens up, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the deep. It says, the Bible, the word used there, is He is overshadowing the deep. It says, the deep that was formless and empty, it had no shape. The Holy Spirit was overshadowing that. Genesis 1. Luke chapter 1. The angel says to Mary, He says, over your barren, empty womb, well, how will you become pregnant? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. The exact same words. Third time it appears in Scriptures. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says to His disciples, wait for the Holy Spirit, for He will come upon you. The same words there. Three times in Scriptures. First, at the announcement of creation, the Holy Spirit will come upon what is empty. God will speak into it, and bam, life will come. Second time is the announcement of the new covenant, the announcement of the kingdom of God has been made flesh. As here, is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. Not a timeline coming near. It is at hand, within reach. Here, now. The announcement of that is when the kingdom of God erupts, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Mary said, let it be as you have said. She speaks into this environment. Boom! Life erupts into a barren womb. Third time is at the announcement of the church, the birth of the church. Three birthings take place. The third is the church where He goes, wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes on the disciples. Peter stands up underneath this. He speaks about Christ to an unbelieving, a Jewish audience who did not recognize Christ. He speaks about them. And bam! 3,000 get saved. The church is birthed forever, never to be stopped. And on this rock, on this revelation of Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail. Three birthings. Incredible. I want to tell you, incredible, incredible, when they spoke into these realities, and the Holy Spirit, when He comes upon you, and you understand, you come into alignment with the Word, and it's not about knowing the Word, and speaking the Word, and it's not a word of faith thing, because I just want to tell you, in Corinthians it says, the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I tell you, when you align yourself under His goodness, you say, I don't fully understand, I'm a virgin, I'm a failure, I'm a mess up, I'm a loser, I don't understand, but yes and amen, give it to me, God. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. He is yes and amen. He's a God who says, yes, yes, always yes. When we ask Him faith, His response is always yes. He is good. That is massive. The Holy Spirit wants to birth the life of God in us, the kingdom of God in us. And I want to tell you my dream and what I'm praying for is this. That word appears a fourth time in Scripture. That Greek word appears in, later on in Acts when Peter's walking and it says this, Peter's shadow, the same root word as overshadow, 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 fell on someone and they got healed. Peter didn't even look at them. Peter did not even look at the person. He did not even speak a word. He did not have a word of knowledge. He did not have to have any earthly reality. Heaven was so invaded that man. And look, I'm not saying Peter was an incredible man without any faults. We know he had faults. But again, I say, it bypasses our faults. My preaching this morning, if it touches your life or not, is not based on whether I have lived a holy life this week. My preaching this morning will not change your life depending on whether I got up at 4 to pray. My preaching will change your life if you receive the Word of God with faith and you say yes and amen. That's it. Not about the charismatic preacher. Not about his lifestyle or your lifestyle. The Word of God never returns void. Never. I want to tell you this morning, we are a church, I pray, that the kingdom of God will so invade us that we would be a people that we, as we just walk, that situations change, that atmosphere shifts, that life we, that we're living in homes where there's strife. Just because I am there, things are different. Christ walks into a room. When Paul went to preach Christ, there was either a riot or revival. Can I tell you, sometimes when I walk into a room, people fall asleep. Sadly, people start preaching, a little bit Red Bull. Please, keep us alive. Can I tell you something? No offense. But I want to say, I believe that that time is coming. When we as a people, life changes, we change this world, not through some rah-rah, clever oratory skills or some clever programs, but because of sons and daughters being released. Who've understood the Holy Spirit has come upon me. Not just to give me, the Holy Spirit is not there to feel good Sunday. You're having a Holy Spirit meeting. Come and feel a little bit better about yourself. Fall over maybe. That's fine, we don't mind that. That's cool. But the Holy Spirit comes upon us for a birthing. For so long people have just had a touch me Christianity. When Christ says, I don't want to just touch you, I want to invade you. I want to change everything about you, your response system. For too long, we've been people who say we want that, but we don't want to carry the life of God in us. We don't want to carry the life of God. Mary submitted and said, I will take all of that. There's responsibility to carrying the life of God. But your life will never be the same. I don't know about you, but can you taste? I can almost touch the tangible electricity of God here. I don't know, I just want to, right now, I want to heighten your senses to the Spirit of God is here. When we speak about Jesus and the glory of the new covenant, the Holy Spirit draws near. The Holy Spirit is the biggest fan of Jesus. I've said it a million times. Tim Keller says that Jesus has a large doorway to the Father's room because he just leads us into the Father. I say to add on to Tim Keller, yep, I'm doing that. He has a room, the Holy Spirit's room, I can imagine, has massive pictures and posters of Jesus. He is Jesus' biggest fan. The Holy Spirit wants to birth Christ in us. The life of God, the kingdom of God. This is not a salvation speech. This is a salvation message. The gospel is about salvation, but I live in salvation every day. The fullness of my salvation. Come, Lord Jesus. I want to say right now, as I said, Genesis 1, the life of God, the creative power of God, the same Holy Spirit came upon Mary, the same Holy Spirit came to the church. We cannot separate church, kingdom, and the life of God. When we do that, we have religion, and religion kills. I want to say that always, Satan always comes against a birthing. Always. The pattern in Scripture is in with Moses. What happens? Moses, the pattern of Jesus, who is going to come lead the people out of the captivity into the promised land, into the yes and amen land. Yeah! Moses had come. As soon as Moses was born, Pharaoh stood up and said, kill all the firstborns. Kill the firstborns. A birthing is taking place, kill them. Freedom will not come. Exactly the same thing happens. Jesus comes to announce the arrival. Herod stands up, a picture of Pharaoh, a picture of Satan says, kill all the firstborns. Satan always comes against a birthing. Can I tell you this morning, even if God does a small thing in life, you'll walk out there, Satan will come right now and say, he'll attack you on this. Is this theology 100% correct? The church is a little bit charismatic. There's just a bit of a moment. The heat was getting to you. Satan loves to come against the birthing. I'm worried. Sometimes I think about us. I say, as a church, how many, I say this with absolute respect, but how many babies have we aborted here? Because of fear of man, because of shame, because of our default settings of running back to what we know, the safety of what we know. I want to tell you guys, I'm so desperate for the life of God. Not only for me, but for this church. We can't do church isolated from kingdom of God reality. The life of God, which is messy, creative, God's voice spoken into the cosmos, poof, lights exploding. He wants to speak into our lives this morning and birth something of significance. I want to say this quick phrase here. My friend Brad Clainsworth said it. He said, sound doctrine does not mean conservative doctrine. So often we think sound doctrine means safe doctrine. God is not safe. I'm a big fan of those Narnia movies. I see a million times, but Lucy says to the beaver, is Aslan safe? He's not safe, but he's good. It's wild Christianity. It's time to accept the yes, amen, not fully understanding, saying, God, will you take us on an adventure? You'll change the way we respond to this message might change the way you've parented for the last 20 years. It might mean having to phone your teenage son, or who's now estranged from you, and forgiving and saying, please, would you forgive me? The life of God is incredible. It does funny things to people. It might say, you're a shy person, I need you to go start speaking up at work. I need you to start speaking up against injustice. I need that room that you got at the back, you need to open up to someone who doesn't have a room. The life of God does funny things to people. But your life will never be the same if you embrace the yes and amen promises of God. I love this thing. He says there at the end, it says this, for nothing, in verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. We know that nothing is impossible for God. Correct? It doesn't say that though. It says nothing is impossible with God. With God. With God. Hand. In His hand. Nothing is impossible with God. He calls us this morning. He's so good. He doesn't just say, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to invite you into the spoils. I'm going to invite you into divine partnership. I want to say a phrase that may shock you, but the word of God in my mouth is as powerful as the words of God in His mouth. That's either blasphemy or good preaching. I like to go with the latter. The words of God in my mouth are as powerful as the words of God in His mouth. It's a teaching on its own. But I want to say right now, this morning, that God has called us into divine partnership where He says, it's time to co-create with me. Is God finished creating? I don't think so. He's creating things in us. He says, Paul says, I'm at the pains until Christ is fully formed in you. God is fashioning something beautiful in us as people. He says, will you partner with me this morning? Nothing is impossible with me. Your situation where you may have hit up a brick wall, relationally, financially, emotionally, spiritually, up against a brick wall, Christ says, in Christ Jesus, in Ephesians 2, that wall, dividing wall of hostility has been brought low. There is no more wall. It is self-imposed. It is self-imagined. It is Satan has no other power except lies. It's an illusion in Christ Jesus. That wall is an illusion. This morning he says nothing is impossible with God. Mary believed him. And our lives are never the same again. Because there's something about Mary's response. There's just something about Mary. This morning, there's something about our response. My final thought is this. Heaven is filled with the promises of God. Filled. Overflowing with the promises of God. The yes and amen promises. Are we going to align our lives with those this morning? We're going to align them with what the enemy says. Because God's plans will come to fruition. He'll either silence our unbelief, or He will magnify our belief, our faith response. Can we bow our heads this morning? Spirit of God, I welcome you here this morning. You've been here since the beginning of time, but you have been here in a manifest way this morning. You're making Jesus known to us. I pray right now for your people. These are your people. You have called them out of darkness into marvelous light. You've called them from the foolishness of their thinking, the futility of their thinking, into a faith reality. We do not deny our thought processes, but we say there's a superior process, which is a heavenly perspective. As Bill Johnson often says, he says, if you want the peace that passes understanding, you sometimes have to give up your right to the understanding. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, would you come and birth things in hearts. Even where hearts are not feeling fertile, where they feel I'm not in a fertile place. I'm feeling barren. I'm feeling empty at the end of a long year. And I feel broken. God, would your divine seed come and take root in hearts. I prophesy right now over people who have felt they have been sidelined this year, where they maybe feel my gifting has not been recognized. I pray, God, you, the life of God comes into their hearts again. The life of God, which is not just a charismatic phrase, but the very presence and person and power of Christ Jesus. You make yourself near. Right now I prophesy over people here who've sat back and says, I'm not a spiritual person. I pray that lie comes crumbling down right now. That the superiority that we are not earthly people, we are aliens and strangers in this land, would come and hit people. That we are spiritual by DNA, divine right. You have purchased us not with silver and gold, but with the blood of Jesus. You have bypassed our human, our father's line, where we feel we are under generational curse. I thank you, God, in Christ Jesus, there is no such thing as a generational curse. Amen. That we do not need any healing. We do not need counseling for years and years and years. Christ Jesus breaks that hold. Amen. It's one word, the barren are made fertile. With one word, the lame will walk. With one word, the blind will see. With one word, the hungry will be filled. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come in fullness. It has come in fullness. We are not a people who are still waiting for the Messiah. He has come. The kingdom of God is within you. And streams of living water will flow from you. If you here in this place this morning, you need a response. Mary's response was so radical. She says, the cross before me, the world behind me. Was that type of response. She was like, I don't care. No turning back. I want the life of God at any expense. If you want that, whether it's for the first time, or you're saying, I'm done with playing church. I want the life of God. I'm going to ask you to stand and run to the front now. If that's you, I hope there are a few. Come to the front. This is not a run now. I'm going to ask Jay to come and play some keys. Maybe they'll help people. Seems to do. If that's you, please come to the front now. Thank you. It's not a first time response. I'm a hungry, hungry person. If you're hungry for God, come. Why do we make people come to the front? It's just because sometimes we are so reserved in our Western Christianity. We're so reserved. We're Christ on the cross. We're Christ in everything. He gave up everything. He is not reserved in any way. Our theology becomes so reserved. Our theology boxes us in. Where Mary's theology, Jewish theology, had no grid reference for Christ coming into her womb. She had no grid for that. And yet she said yes and amen. Let it be as you say. Father God, if people respond this morning, I prophesy life over people right now, life and the life in abundance. I declare in this moment that you bypass processes even. I say, God, we believe that you are God. Obviously, of processes, you do things in an orderly fashion. But I thank you, God. Creation was an explosion. I pray right now, I call up faith to rise up. Where faith has died, would you rise up right now? Rise up in people. Rise up in your sons and daughters. If you're up front, lift your hands. If you're in your seat and you want to come up, it's still not too late. Father God, I declare right now over these people, this is not an end of year. You do not run on calendar years, 24-hour days. You're God who is moving us from glory to glory. It is not from glory to Christmas time, rest, and then let's start again. Crank it, God, I pray that you're turning the dial, tightening and saying you are sons and daughters right now. I call out, Father God, sonship. Sonship over your sons and daughters. The Spirit of God would fall upon us that we may call and cry out, Abba Father. Abba Father. No matter what has gone before this year, yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father. Your gospel declares, the old is gone, the new has come, and you're impregnating us with the life of God. The life of God to carry miracles where we would walk as you're overshadowing us, God, that we would walk with our shadow falling on people. I pray, Father God, the day is coming where the world would be standing in amazement at the sons and daughters of God. The Life Changes Church would get a reputation where we go, riots happen, or revival, one of the two. There cannot be a lukewarm response. I declare right now over your people, Father God. that you purchased with your blood. Father God, I declare over Judy and Greg, Father God, I pray. I thank you, God, for the gifting in this couple. I thank you, Father God, for new levels of joy like never before, that are not determined on gifting, not determined on recognition, not determined on expansion of area, not determined on circumstance, but joy that is not a seasonal joy, an everlasting joy. Father, give it to him, and that will operate in power, Father God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father God. Father God, I thank you that right now we would worship you this morning and you would fall upon us. Can we stand as a people all together? I'm going to ask us to sing maybe one more song. And as we worship, not as churchgoers, but as sons and daughters, as we worship him, Father, would heaven invade our reality? Would heaven invade our reality? A deposit of heaven that is not momentary, that carries, that we would carry the DNA, the life of God, back into our homes, into our existences, into our in-law situations that are coming up. Life of God, would you come consume us this morning? If you're there and you're hungry, can you just cry out to God right now? Call on God. Say, Holy Spirit, would you come fill me? Bypass my education, bypass my shame, bypass my defaults, my defects, my disabilities, my lukewarm nature. Come and bypass that, God. I call out radical sons and daughters, worshippers who respond yes and amen to the promises of God.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.